Today on Family Talk.
We have pointed out on numerous occasions how hostile this culture is toward the concept of masculinity. Men are mercilessly vilified and portrayed as toxic influences on their families and society. Despite the negative attitude toward manhood, though, fathers must remain godly role models for their kids. This is Family Talk, a listener-supported division of the James Dobson Family Institute. And I'm Roger Marsh, thanking you for joining us today. In just a moment, you will hear the remainder of Dr. Dobson's classic interview with Dr. Bill Bennett. Last time, they discussed the importance of fathers modeling godly manhood for their sons. Here's a quick clip of what we heard on the last broadcast.
I don't know if you know or remember, but I didn't grow up with a father. My mother was married five times.
Oh, my.
And my mother was not so good on some things, good on other things. She knew that there was a deficit. So she did her best to find men and bring them into our lives who were good men and have them be with us. Of course, she selected very carefully, but friends of the family and so on. But she felt an obligation to put her sons in the presence of good men.
Many boys who grow up without a father or a prominent male role model are wounded for life. That's why, as Dr. Dobson has said many times before, dads need to be there for their sons. I hope you'll go back and listen to the first part of this interview because it is very, very impactful. You can visit the broadcast page for the link for part one of this conversation. You'll find that at drjamesdobson.org. Today, Dr. Dobson and Dr. Bennett will continue to address how dads can point their boys toward godly manhood. The two men will also highlight how men should love, respect, and prioritize their families. Now, before we get started, let me tell you a little bit more about our guest. Dr. Bill Bennett is a prominent political voice. Over the past 50 years, he's been recognized by serving under two presidents, first as Secretary of Education under President Reagan, and then overseeing the drug control policy with President George H.W. Bush. Dr. Bill Bennett is highly educated with a bachelor's degree, a PhD, and Juris Doctorate from Harvard University. He previously hosted a daily radio program on the Salem Radio Network called Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Dr. Bennett has authored over 25 books and previously taught at Boston University as well as the University of Texas. He and his wife Elaine call North Carolina home and have two sons. Here once again is Dr. Bill Bennett on this edition of Family Talk.
Bill, you've written this wonderful book that I'm anxious to talk with you again about it. The Book of Man, Readings on the Path to Manhood, a book that is just loaded with interesting and informative information. But before we get to that, I told you when you were in my office a few minutes ago that I wanted you to begin with a question that I would like to hear you respond to. I would like you to address the issue of America, where we are and what's happening, how you envision this nation now. Everywhere I go, I hear that people are discouraged and despondent and fearful and apprehensive, and something's gone wrong and they're not sure what. And many of them don't believe we will ever recover from what's going on now. How do you assess this great nation that we have inherited from our founding fathers?
I think that I'll get to the conclusion. I think we're going to be okay. I am less fearful about the country now and its future than I was in the late 60s, early 70s, frankly. Not that I don't see the same things you do, Jim. I do. I see the worry. I see the even despair, great anxiety about the future, about economics, about values, and so on. But I'll tell you what I think is good. We are looking now more than we did before in the right places. I love the fact that Americans are looking at first principles. People are talking about the Constitution of the United States, going back and looking at the founders. There is much greater respect for the military than there was back 30, 40 years ago. And people are worried about the right thing, which is the future of our country. And that's not a worry that's misplaced. They should be worried about it. But what I see going on is the American capacity for self-renewal I think we're in this deep reflection and worry, and it's a little dark in there sometimes, but I think we're going to come out of it. One of the benefits of having read a lot of American history, and I wrote, you know, those history books, American Last Best Hope, is that you get a sense of what this country can endure. What we are being asked to endure now is a lot. But I think the juices are starting to flow, the antibodies are kicking in, and the American capacity for self-renewal is making its way, not only politically, but I think in many ways morally as well. That's due to the work of a lot of people, not least of whom is you yourself, your legacy. This producer sitting back here, my producer, Patrick Henry College, homeschooled, raised on Jim Dobson. There are a lot of young people like this in this country, and I have a lot of confidence in them. And I think we're going to get out of it. But it's a tough go, and it's not inevitable, because I think it's at the deepest level, not a political problem, but a moral and spiritual problem. I think we're asking some of the right questions, and I think that I would never count America out. Never.
Mm. You know, Jimmy Carter, toward the end of his single term, saw despair and referred to a malaise that had captured the nation. And the answer you gave to my question a minute ago was a Ronald Reagan answer. It was his answer then.
Right.
To the malaise.
Lift it up. Raise it up.
He saw something positive in what at that time was a pretty scary moment.
Absolutely.
In American history.
Oh,
I mean, interest rates were 16%.
The misery index was awful.
Yes. And yet Ronald Reagan pulled it out, largely with his philosophy and his optimism.
That's right.
And you have expressed that now. The only thing I would question about what you just said is that it represents about half the country, and the other half seems not to get it at all.
But conviction is stronger than indifference. I mean, I genuinely believe it.
Is the purpose of this book, The Book of Man, to point people in the direction that you're describing?
Yes.
Here? And especially men.
To point boys in the direction of what it means to be a man. What does it really mean to be a man? And to help parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anybody who knows a boy and wants that boy to become the right kind of man, I hope we'll look at this book.
Can you teach it?
Yes, you can teach it. You teach it by example. You teach it by pointing out imitation. You teach it by precept and rule. And you teach it by habit. How are we to, how are boys to know what it means to be a man if we do not tell them the stories of people like Donovan Campbell in my book, or Rick Rescorla, the hero of the World Trade Center? How are they to know? We have to tell them these stories. Can I tell briefly the story of Donovan Campbell?
I would love for you to do that.
I want to start at the end. A mom who bought this book, single mom who bought this book, was reading the story of Marine Corps Captain Donovan Campbell to her 9-year-old son. She said that until that time, this 9-year-old son didn't have any heroes, or his hero was a fictional character on a website, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then she read him the story, and now he says he wants to be like Donovan Campbell. Who's Donovan Campbell? He's a young man now in his 30s, works in Dallas, works for Pepsi. He was in Ramadi in Iraq as a lieutenant commanding his platoon. The day begins with every minaret and mosque, someone goes at sunup and yells, "Jihad, jihad, jihad." And then all age breaks loose. Campbell's there with his men, and they go out to rescue a group that's been surrounded, and they succeed. And while there, they're fired upon, but the firing, the shooting is inaccurate and hits a bunch of kids who are close by. Procedure would suggest you get your Marines out of there. But he looks at the kids, he thinks about his Christian upbringing, how his parents have raised him. His dad, Donovan Campbell Sr., was Paula Jones' lawyer, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, in the Paula Jones case. And he says, "Marines, do what you know how to do," and they get out and start bandaging these kids. He loses one of his Marines by this, It's an unbelievable story, and he talks about it. But he says, you talked about it. He was on my show, my radio show. We talked for an hour and a half, and all people wanted to do, Jim, was to call and thank him. And people called tearfully. Mothers called, fathers called, Marines called, kids called. My wife, I was talking to him afterwards, Elaine, and she just couldn't contain herself. He said, look, this is every day. This is what people do every day, people who put on that uniform. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are heroes. All we gotta do is tell their story. I profile the guy who calls himself the happiest sanitation worker in America. Mm-hmm. Takes great pride in his work. He said, we're going to make this the most beautiful city, and I'm going to make sure there's not a piece of trash anywhere in the city. Chris Scott in Houston, homeschooling father of six. That's the only reason he's in the book. He said, I can't be in your book. I can't be there with these military heroes. When he told me how he spends his time, every free minute is with those kids. And he said, we don't have a lot of money. But, you know, we stretch and we go and we go out somewhere and we, you know, eat off each other's plates and we do whatever we have to do. He's a hero in very much the same way. One of the reasons I wrote this book, a young woman, very close to the family, I don't want to embarrass her, but I'm kind of an advisor to her, kind of an uncle, you know, and we're very close to the family. And she wanted me to meet a guy that she was dating, she's in her mid-20s. And we were having dinner. I took them out to dinner, and he went off to the restroom. And she said, what do you think? I said, I think he's okay. She said, it's the best I can do. Mm-hmm. The reaction to this book, The Book of Man, has been the strongest from women who have said, you don't know the half of it. Mm-hmm. You know the story I've heard 100 times? Girls getting out of college, moving in with the boyfriends. Of course, this isn't a good idea for lots of reasons. Cohabitation, we know what happens there most of the time. But ending up hearing sounds in the middle of the night, and it's 4 or 5 guys playing video games. The average, I use this in the introduction, the average male, 18 to 35, spends 2.5 hours a day playing video games, more than the 12 to 18-year-old male. And, you know, we say is 60 the new 40? A sports writer in Philadelphia was reviewing my book. He said, I don't agree with Bennett on almost anything, but he's right about that. You ever get that?
I don't hear Jim Dobbs saying. Are you kidding?
He said, but 25 may be the new 13.
You know, Bill, I mentioned in the program last time that you have accomplished so much in your life, and you've had such a varied professional responsibility. But that didn't just happen. I wasn't with you when you were younger, but I'm certain that you devoted every hour of your day towards some gainful movement in the direction of a profession that you wanted to have later on. Speaking for myself, I did that. I wouldn't have thought of spending a day playing a video game if there were video games. Because I was getting through graduate school and then working and saving and trying to prepare for the future. The young men today don't seem to know that future is coming down on them. And if they don't prepare themselves, they're playing all the time, they've wasted the opportunities that God has provided for them.
There are two, you know, I studied Latin.
Am I right first
You're
in saying
right.
that you?
I wish, would. No, I wish I could say I never wasted a minute or a day or an hour, but there was. But no, for the most part, it was time pretty well spent. I was just thinking what you were describing.
A law degree and a PhD.
I was doing it at the same time. Hard. I was at Harvard. I was finishing law school at Harvard. I was writing my dissertation for my PhD at the time. I was a tutor teaching social studies at Harvard, and I was trying to keep my freshmen from getting their heads knocked in by the police because this was 1969, 70, 71, and trying to counsel them and trying to talk a freshman who wanted to leave Harvard out of leaving. I said, you're just going to mess up your life, you know. It's be better. And he said, I'm on my way. I said, all right. I said, well, tell me your name again. He said, Bill Gates. I said, okay, well, Good luck with whatever it is. This is true.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I was a senior advisor at Harvard, and I became the specialist in kids who wanted to drop out, telling them why they couldn't. Simple theory. Anything you're doing is going to probably be better with a Harvard degree because the world, you know, loves that stuff so much. Not necessarily that it's worth it, but the world respects it. So one of the kids I had as a freshman had Bill Gates as a freshman, half a generation later. And he said, if you'll talk to this Gates guy, he's just bound and determined to leave. And I said, remember I said to John, let him go. I said, the dope, you know. So great judgment by Bill Bennett. But no, you're right. I mean, I had to do a dissertation. I had to teach. I had to attend my classes, and I just had to work.
All this playing you're talking about?
I was scared.
You didn't play much.
I didn't have a net, Jim. I mean, my brother and I were raised by a single mom. We didn't have a net. If we fell, we were going right down. And I, you know, in the neighborhood I grew up in Brooklyn, a lot of my classmates, you know, their lives hadn't turned out so well.
All right. Your book is about men.
Yes.
What it really means to be a man.
Right.
Let me tick them off and see if this is where you're coming from. A real man protects his family and, if called upon, protects his country.
Absolutely.
A real man provides for those that are dependent upon him.
Yes.
A real man loves his family and his children. Going down the row, what else does it mean to be a real man?
My wife keeps reminding me, Elaine is very wise, as you know, that especially when the boys were young, they will learn from you how to treat women. Mm-hmm. So do not raise your voice at me. You know, we're both very strong-willed people, as you know, very, you know, engaged in the world. We're arguing all day long about things. And as I've told people, it's happily ever after, not quietly ever after. You know, we occasionally have lively exchanges, Mrs. Bennett and I. But she says something which I've taken to heart, and I love her phrase. When she talks about men and boys, she said, you raise sons to be the kind of man you would want to marry. I think the heart of it, the two Latin words for father, genitor and pater. Genitor is the biological act of fathering. We do not have to teach much about this to the generation of boys. They get that everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, they get it naturally, they get it on TV, they get it in movies, they get it in pornography. Genitor. The other Latin word for father is pater. As we said in Latin, pater noster qui es in celis, our father who art in heaven. The pater is the one who takes responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's the one who doesn't dodge it. I'll take care of it. You know, when that call comes, I'll take care of it. I'm not going to talk about, you know, incidents in our life when, you know, things were trying. But, you know, when you call on a man, there's always somebody home. And that I think, is the heart of it.
Bill, you have made reference to your wife, Elaine, several times in these two programs. You obviously respect her very, very highly. And she is a brilliant lady. I have met her and am aware of her accomplishments. Here at the end of the program, talk about who she is. I think she's a hero. We're talking about men who are heroes, but she's one too. And she has had this program for teenage girls called Best Friends.
She's a hero. She's a hero of mine, and she's a hero of the country. It's, by the research, the most successful abstinence education program in the country, and she works in the public schools, which is not an easy place to work. She's now been given some directions from people in the Obama administration about what she can say and not say. They'd prefer that she, strongly prefer that she not use the word abstinence.
Can't even use the word.
Yeah.
They tell her not to use the word.
And do not talk about one form of family being preferable to another, you know, that the nuclear family, the family of husband and man and woman.
And the government can say that to her because they provide some money for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
the guidelines. And the guidelines. Yeah. So, and she's being audited, which I believe she shouldn't say this, but I will. I think she's being harassed because the success of her program. Remember where she's working in the D.C. public schools, and she has tremendous success. wonderful rapport with the girls, and it's been a remarkably effective program.
Especially with regard to abstinence.
Absolutely. No, the numbers are wonderful.
And they want to take that away.
And the thing that is, I think, of all the things that are most amazing, the most recent thing that she talks about, and she talks about on my radio show, is how many of her kids, who she calls them, want marriage. Want to be married. And the boys as much as the girls, 95%. And many of these kids don't know of an intact marriage, you know? Yeah. Remember the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral? Mm-hmm. She said, for my kids, a lot of them, it's four funerals and no weddings. And every time someone we know gets married, she asks, can I have a few of my best friend's girls come? And people say, well, how many? 300? Well, no, in our room. But she wants her girls to see a wedding. She wants her girls to see a woman walk down the aisle. And the girls, well, you know, they love it. So, yeah, she's a hero. You bet she's a hero. And I think, you know, when I look at my sons, I'll give myself a good assist. You know, sous chef, second. But I think it was her. She decided to make boys the kind of men they were supposed to be, and she was quite intentional about it. She called me in when play was needed and then told me go back out on the road when you need to and, you know, provide and do and counsel. I did the math, though. I will say that. I did the math every night, no matter where I was. I did the math for my boys. So she said, I'm not doing math. She said, I don't take out garbage and I don't do math.
Right? Well, we're out of time. Tell Elaine we talked about her. I respect her very highly for what she's done in regard to teaching morality and abstinence. It's always good to have you with us, Bill.
Thank you, Jim.
I have great
Wonderful.
Respect for you.
Thank and, you. You've been a great help to me, personally, as well as professionally, and I thank you.
And you're enjoying what you're doing.
I love it. I'm one of these guys where I say, thank goodness it's Monday. I just can't wait. Isn't that crazy? I can't wait to get up at 3:45 in the morning to do this radio show. I can't wait.
You have to be there at 6.
I got to be on air at 6. I mean, not just there. I got to be clear and, you know, smart and I hope smart.
Well,
but our audience wakes up with us, so we have a good time.
That's the only dumb thing I've ever heard about you, getting up at 3:30 in the morning every day. Do you not need sleep?
I'm married to a woman whose candle goeth not out at night. You know that line, I believe.
And Proverbs 31.
She is a night person, and I am a morning person. She has often come into bed when I'm getting up, but the sun never sets on the bed of them. There's always someone up in case those boys are about something they shouldn't be. We're around.
Thank you, Bill, for this book, The Book of Man, Readings on the Path to Manhood.
Thank you, Jim Dobbs.
I recommend it highly.
Thank you, Jim Dobbs.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's timely interview with Dr. Bill Bennett here on Family Talk. I urge you to visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn how you can get a copy of the book called The Book of Man. It's a great resource for any dad who wants to better connect with his son. Also, when you're on our broadcast page, you can listen once again to Dr. Bennett's new informative podcast as well. You'll find all that information and more on today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. We also welcome your thoughts on this two-day broadcast. Simply visit Family Talk's Facebook page and leave your comments on today's broadcast post. Let us know what you learned or perhaps what you appreciated from this entire presentation. Also, you can feel free to share that post with your loved ones as well so they can also enjoy that. Now, go now to Family Talk's Facebook page and comment on today's broadcast post. We look forward to hearing from you there. Are you tired of aimlessly spinning the dial, hoping to find our program? Well, all you have to do is go now to drjamesdobson.org and check out our Station Finder feature. This tool allows you to see when Family Talk will be airing across our immense radio network. Click on the broadcast menu, then drop down to the Family Talk Radio Stations button. There you will see our entire radio network on one easy-to-use interactive map. Tap on your home state to see when and where you can hear Dr. Dobson. Take advantage of this feature when you visit drjamesdobson.org. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. As we continue talking about the importance of fathers, you'll hear Dr. Tim Clinton's recent conversation with author and speaker John Smithbaker. John will be talking about his passion for ministering to fatherless boys. He'll also share his testimony of brokenness in his childhood. Don't miss that discussion coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director at the Dobson Family Institute, wanting to remind you that our ministry is listener-supported. Your contributions allow us to continue the fight for families everywhere. You can partner with us by going to drjamesdobson.org, that's drjamesdobson.org, or call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. That number again, 877-732-6825. This world, you know this, needs a serious transformation of the heart. Your gift can help make a difference. I hope you'll stand with us, and thank you for being a friend of the family.